Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to confess, I've never preached on this passage before. I've often been off on the Sunday after Christmas, and it was interesting to spend some time reflecting on this passage from Luke. The snarky side of me wonders about the portrayal of this sassy, lippy young Jesus. And any of us who have had children know that a 12-year-old can be like this. And I wonder what Luke was trying to do. And of course, others have throughout history. But I'd like to take a moment to first think about what Mary and Joseph were experiencing. Now, I actually have a story of being lost at the temple too. And when I was a small child, our family went to Israel. My dad had won the trip in a lottery that he was helping run, and he was offered a free ticket in compensation for all of the tickets he had sold, and he said, no, why don't you just sell the ticket that you can raise more money for the project? And the night of the lottery drawing came, and the people who'd organized it handed him a ticket and said, it's too late for us to sell it, take your ticket. Well, of course, you can see where the story's going. They gave my father the winning ticket. And that was great. We were going to go to Israel. And we were scheduled to go in early June of 1967. Now, as you know, there was a war at that point, and we did not go to Israel in 1967. But we did go in 1968. And we got to travel around the country and see things and meet people. And I have two distinct memories. One was riding on a camel in the desert, and the other was being separated from my father when we were at the Western Wall Prayer Plaza. Now, I was a little kid then. I was like 4 years old at that point, and you can just imagine what it was like to look up and see all of these people. And I realized none of them were my father. And so somehow, I made my way to the back of the assembled crowd, and I don't remember if my father or my mother, but one of them knew where I was and was able to make a beeline to me, and I was reunited with my family. I'm not saying that I was in any way like Jesus, and I was not going off to discuss scripture with the rabbis or teachers, but I thought about this incident many times over the years and what my parents must have thought, because their little boy disappeared. And they were really pleased and relieved when they found me. And I imagine that Joseph and Mary were dealing with that kind of anxiety too. Now, people back then obviously didn't have cars, and they couldn't just travel on their own. They didn't fly anywhere. They often traveled in groups of caravans of people, and the trip to Jerusalem could be dangerous at some points, and people found that there were safety in numbers. And Jesus and his family traveled in a caravan. And people knew one another. They often traveled with extended family groups. And so it wasn't quite as odd as it might seem to us on first reflection that Jesus' parents didn't notice he was missing. Because they probably assumed that Jesus was off with some cousins or some friends and that he would be okay. That, of course, isn't what happened. And they had that moment when they realized their boy was missing. And it's easy for us to cast judgment, to think, gee, they fell down on the job there. But some of you may remember David Cameron, who was the Prime Minister of the UK. And one weekend, he and his family were staying at the Prime Minister's Retreat of Chequers. And they decided to go to lunch at a pub. And they went and had lunch, and after they ate, they left. And about an hour after they got home, they got a call from the pub, from their daughter. Now, again, the British press had a field day with the story because everyone likes to point fingers at one another. But, you know, they had other kids to watch after. They had the protective detail that was supposed to be there that they could have thought would have looked after their kids. And they were relieved and pleased when they were able to welcome their child back into their home. What are we supposed to learn from this story? I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure what Luke was doing. I don't think he was motivated by the modern impulse to tell origin stories. And I pray no one goes and makes a movie about young Jesus because they'll only have this story to tell. But I think we can look at this and, we can look at this story and draw some lessons about when we might lose Jesus. And I know we all say we're going to be good, all hold on to Jesus all the time. But it is possible to be distracted. It is possible to have our opinions swayed. It is possible to follow the wrong directions. And when that happens, we can lose sight of Jesus. Now, it's hard to imagine what the 12-year-old Jesus looked like. We can imagine the baby Jesus because we've seen lots of paintings of him. We even have a standing for him here in our sanctuary. And of course, we can imagine the grown-up Jesus because we've seen lots of artwork and sculptures. But those teen years of Jesus were formative, and we see Jesus acting as a 12-year-old. All of us, when we were that age, I suspect, had a moment, at least one moment, where we sassed our parents, where we thought we knew everything that was going on. And Jesus did that too. And in that moment, of course, Jesus did know what was going on, but his focus, his attention was on God and on the temple. And that is where he felt called to be. And we'll see it throughout his life that Jesus prays and Jesus cares about the temple. So I don't think we should be harsh on Jesus and his useful tasks. And we don't need to be harsh on Joseph and Mary. They had a tough job. Jesus was their son. We know they had other children. And if anybody has ever raised a prodigy, that requires a lot of love and work. Because child prodigies have special talents and needs, and they need to be nurtured, they need to be encouraged, but sometimes they need parental discipline. And all of that, hopefully, is delivered with love. And I'm convinced that Joseph and Mary had lots of love for Jesus, and they shared it with him, just as he shared his love with his parents and his family and his friends, and ultimately us, the entire world. So let's join together in a spirit of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for his parents. We thank you for those people who nurtured him and raised him. And we thank you for the gift of life and grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.